Welcome to IP Management Voice, the podcast spotlighting leading minds in IP and IP management. This series supports the IP Business Academy's call for subject matter experts to share insights, foster reflection, and strengthen the global IP system. Join the conversation via our newsletter and explore cutting-edge content on D-Plex. The content featured in this episode on strategic rebranding and trademark risk management comes from Charlotte Dooley.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into rebranding. And it's really not just slapping on a new logo, is it?
Not at all. It's actually a pretty complex strategic balancing act. You've got who the brand is, how people see it, and critically, how you stay legally sound.
Exactly. And to unpack all that, we've got some really interesting sources today.
We do. We're drawing on a research nugget about building brands' identity. That's work by Professor Dr. Alexander Wurser. It really digs into what makes up a brand at its core.
And we're pairing that with some practical advice, right? From a legal standpoint.
Yes, specifically a recommendation from Charlotte Dooley, who's an expert in brand protection. She highlights the trademark risks, especially using the Tate and Lyle golden syrup redesign as a case in point.
Okay, so our mission for you listening, if you've ever wondered how brands evolve, maybe how they avoid making really expensive mistakes, or even just want to grasp the strategy behind the products you buy. Well, this deep dive should give you a shortcut to understanding those core ideas.
Let's dive in then.
Right. Let's start at the foundation. Brand identity. Professor Wurser's work, you mentioned, frames it as the brand's DNA. That sounds pretty deep.
It is foundational, and it goes way beyond just the visuals, you know. This DNA, according to the research, includes things like the company's internal culture, its overall vision, the actual products, how they're packaged, the way the brand talks to people, its communications, and ultimately how customers perceive and experience all of that combined.
So it's like this whole ecosystem creating the brand's image, and down the line, its actual value, the brand equity people talk about.
Precisely. A strong identity builds that image, and that builds long-term equity.
Which means rebranding isn't just like a cosmetic touch-up.
Well, sometimes it might be minor, but often there's a big difference between just tweaking, say, a color and undertaking a real strategic transformation of how the brand shows up in the world.
And Professor Wurser's analysis helps clarify that difference.
Yes, by breaking down what those key components of identity actually are.
Okay, so what did the research identify? There were seven key elements, I think.
That's right. Seven components. First, you've got the products and the packaging. The tangible stuff consumers interact with directly.
Makes sense. What else?
Then all the marketing collateral, websites, ads, brochures, you name it. The logo, naturally, is in there, that instant visual shorthand. Also, messages and actions, so what the brand says, and crucially, whether its actions back that up. Consistency is key there.
Right.
Then there's signage, which is vital for physical locations, even things like stationary business cards, letterheads they add to the overall impression.
Little details, but they count.
They do. And finally, apparel uniforms, branded merchandise that can be a very visible element, especially for service brands.
Now, what I found really interesting in the research nugget from IP Management Letters was the finding about impact. Professor Wurser suggested not all these elements are equal in consumers' eyes.
Exactly. That was a key finding. The research indicated that products and packaging tend to have the highest impact on consumer perception.
Really? More than the logo.
Followed by marketing content, and then the logo. So yes, while the logo is important, the actual experience with the product and its presentation often carries more weight initially.
That's a big takeaway. You might pour resources into a logo, thinking it's everything, but the packaging could be doing more heavy lifting.
It definitely suggests a strategic rebrand needs a holistic view, looking at all those touch points. It's not just about the visual flash.
So how do established brands handle this? Professor Wurser's nugget mentioned Nescafe, didn't it, as a sort of case study?
Yes. Nescafe is a great example of managing this over the long term. Think about it, instant coffee, a pretty traditional market, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But Nescafe has managed to keep modernizing its brand identity continuously. They evolve their packaging, their messaging, their visual style, but they never become, you know, unrecognizable. They stay relevant globally.
So the key is evolution, not revelation. It's about sharpening the identity, maybe, rather than completely ditching the old one.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's about balancing that continuity, the familiarity people value, with innovation to stay appealing. Sharpening, not abandoning.
Okay, that makes sense. But this is where the legal side comes in, isn't it?
Yeah.
The point Charlotte Dooley raises.
Absolutely. Because all that careful strategic work can stumble badly if you hit legal issues, particularly with trademarks.
Right. Seems like an often underestimated risk. What are the big pitfalls there?
One of the major dangers, as Charlotte Dooley emphasizes, is accidentally snipping on someone else's trademark. Even small tweaks, a new name element, a change in the logo shape, sometimes even just a specific color combination, could potentially infringe on rights already held by someone else.
Ouch. So you need to check carefully.
Thoroughly. And globally, if you operate internationally, comprehensive trademark clearance searches are non-negotiable before you commit to new branding elements. You need to know the landscape in every market you're in or plan to enter.
You mentioned she used Tate & Lyle's Golden Syrup as an example. How does that illustrate the point?
The Golden Syrup case is fascinating from this angle. They modernized, yes, but look what they kept. The core iconic heritage elements, that distinctive lion and the bees motif.
Ah, right. The really recognizable parts.
Exactly. They simplified the overall look, made it cleaner, more modern, but they didn't ditch those legally protected, instantly identifiable symbols. That avoids confusing customers and sidesteps potential legal challenges about abandoning their established mark or infringing on something similar.
So it's that delicate dance again. Refresh the look, but hold on to the legally distinct, recognizable core.
Precisely. And Dooley also stresses the need for global consistency. Trademark laws aren't uniform everywhere. What works legally in the UK might be problematic in the US or China. So big international brands need a globally coherent strategy.
Wow. Okay, so there's the brand's core identity, there's how customers perceive it, and this whole complex legal layer. How do companies actually navigate all this successfully and avoid the pitfalls?
Well, this brings us back to the value of research, like the kind Professor Wurser's work represents. Understanding which parts of your current identity actually resonate most strongly with consumers, that gives you data.
Right. So you're not just operating on gut feeling about what needs changing.
Exactly. You can make informed, data-driven decisions. You can figure out where the real impact lies. Maybe it is the logo, but maybe, as the research suggests, focusing on packaging or messaging will give you more bang for your buck.
So ignoring that research step could lead you to invest heavily in the wrong area, like spending a fortune on a new logo that maybe doesn't move the needle much.
That's the risk. You might misjudge what truly matters to your audience. Understanding those nuances, as Professor Wurser's work helps to do, is key to making the rebrand effective and efficient.
So based on both the research insights and the legal cautions from someone like Charlotte Dooley, what are some actionable steps companies should take?
Okay, so first, start with perception research. Really dig into how consumers see your brand now, where the strengths, weaknesses, the disconnects.
Understand the starting point.
Got it.
Second, and this is crucial, engage IP legal experts early. Do those thorough trademark screenings Charlotte Dooley recommends for any new names, logos, taglines, even color schemes you're considering, globally, if needed.
Before you fall in love with the design.
Absolutely. Third, create and test different design options and messaging concepts with your actual target audience segments. Get feedback. Iterate. Don't launch blind.
Makes sense. Test, test, test.
Fourth, ensure everyone internally is aligned: marketing, legal, product development, sales. Everyone needs to be on the same page. And consider a phased rollout, maybe in a test market, to monitor real-world reactions and catch any issues.
Good point about internal alignment. And the phased rollout gives you data. What's next?
Well, the final piece is locking it down, legally protecting the updated trademarks, and then refreshing all your brand guidelines and ensuring consistency across every single touch point.
Okay, let's circle back to Golden Syrup for a moment, using that framework. Charlotte Dooley highlighted it.
Mm-hmm.
How did their 2024 approach really exemplify that balance of modernizing while being legally smart?
It's a really good practical illustration. It's a brand with, 140 years of history?
Yeah.
Immense heritage.
Yes, dude.
So they didn't just throw that away. They reimagined it. Those intricate Victorian details on the old tin. They were simplified, made cleaner, more modern for digital use too, probably. But crucially, as we said, the core lion and bees imagery, the legally significant part, was preserved, just rendered more cleanly.
Updated, not obliterated.
Yeah.
And legally safer that way.
What else? They also refreshed the typography, made it feel more current, but still retaining a kind of classic, trustworthy feel, keeping the brand voice intact. And even subtle things, like maybe the finish on the packaging or the layout, were tweaked to signal innovation without jarring loyal customers.
So a careful calibration across visuals, messaging cues, even materials, possibly, all while keeping the legal protections front and center.
Exactly. It shows a deep understanding that rebranding is this multifaceted strategic exercise. It's not just a marketing task. It involves legal, operations, the whole business.
It really sounds like it. So pulling all this together, Professor Worser's insights on identity components, Charlotte Dooley's focus on trademark risks, could we maybe sketch out a kind of roadmap, a sequence of steps for a successful rebrand?
I think we can. Based on everything we've discussed, a sort of five-step integrated roadmap makes sense.
Okay, let's hear it. What would step one be?
Step one, audit. Conduct a really thorough audit of your current brand identity, its components, its strengths, its weaknesses, and importantly, how it's actually perceived out there in the market. Get that baseline understanding.
Right. Know thyself and know thy audience's view. Step two.
Step two, screen. This is the legal checkpoint. Conduct comprehensive trademark clearance searches with IP experts for all potential new brand elements. Names, logos, slogans, the works. Do this before significant creative investment.
Crucial timing. Okay, step three.
Step three, create and test. Develop your new design iterations, your messaging options, and rigorously test them with target consumers. Use that feedback to refine and validate your chosen direction.
Get real-world input. Makes sense. Step four.
Step four, plan and phase. Plan your launch strategy carefully. Consider a phased rollout, maybe starting in specific regions or channels, to gather data, manage risk, and allow for adjustments if needed. Ensure internal teams are ready.
Don't just flip a switch everywhere at once, necessarily. And the final step.
Step five, protect and police. Once launched, secure legal protection for your new trademarks. Update all your internal brand guidelines, train your teams, and consistently monitor the market to ensure your new identity is used correctly and consistently and isn't being infringed upon.
Audit, screen, test, phase, protect. That feels like a really solid, actionable framework integrating both the strategic brand side and the essential legal side.
It covers the key bases we've been talking about.
So wrapping this up, the big message seems to be that successful rebranding isn't, you know, just about making things look nicer. It's a serious strategic discipline.
Absolutely. It requires that deep dive into your brand's core identity, a really clear understanding of consumer perception, and navigating that tricky intellectual property landscape very carefully.
And as the Nescafe and particularly the Golden Syrup examples show, it's often about finding that sweet spot, innovating for the future, while carefully preserving the equity and legal protection you've already built.
That balance is key. Innovation, preservation, and legal prudence all working together.
This has been really insightful. So a final thought for you listening. Maybe start noticing the brands around you. Think about how their identities might have shifted subtly or maybe drastically over the years. What strategic choices, what legal considerations might have been behind those changes. What does that tell you about this constant dance between staying true to what a brand is and adapting to where the world is going? Definitely something to chew on.
Food for thought indeed.
Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.
Thanks for listening to IP Management Voice. If there's any topic you'd like us to cover in this podcast or on the content platform Dplex, please get in contact and let us know.